Welcome to today's NCPA Foundation conference call entitled DKMS Bone Marrow Donor Registration Training. During the presentation, all lines will be in a listen-only mode. A question-and-answer session will follow the presentation, and instructions for asking questions will be given at that time. Thank you all for your attention. I would now like to turn the conference over to your host, Ms. Valerie Briggs.
Great. Thank you, Olivia, and welcome, everyone. Good afternoon. My name is Valerie Briggs, as Olivia mentioned, and I'm the Communications Director here at the National Community Pharmacists Association. We'd like to welcome you to today's NCPA Foundation DKMS Bone Marrow Donor Registration Training webinar. Thank you again in advance for agreeing to participate in the first ever Community Pharmacy National Bone Marrow Donor Drive, coordinated by the NCPA Foundation in conjunction with DKMS, the world's largest and most experienced bone marrow donor center. Please note, if any of you on the line have not yet confirmed with DKMS regarding your participation in the bone marrow drive, we'll ask you to please email Amanda Nagel of DKMS as soon as possible to confirm your participation. And when Amanda comes on the line, she can provide her email address. You must do so in order to receive the necessary supplies and to participate in the training. So please keep that in mind. We're pleased to have with us today Amanda Nagel and Maria Langaba from DKMS, again, the world's largest and most experienced bone marrow donor center. We have with us also Catherine Kuhn, Executive Director of the NCPA Foundation, and with us on the line is fellow NCPA member and community pharmacist Dave Wilcox, who will be sharing some information with us on his personal interest in this drive that we're hosting. After their opening remarks, we will open up the call for questions and answers. Please note that today's call will be recorded, and a recording will be provided on the NCPA Foundation website. So with that, I'd like to turn it first to Dave Wilcox.
Well, good morning. This is Dave Wilcox, and I'm a pharmacist like you, and my interest in this process comes from the fact that about a year ago on actually Thanksgiving morning, we were called by our son, who's 30 years old, in the service, and informed us that through a routine blood draw that was being done, they determined that he had leukemia. This obviously was devastating to our family, and we immediately had Jay, his name is Jay or Javier, we had Jay transferred from where he was stationed in Hawaii into California so that he would have access to the Stanford Cancer Center. Through the process of getting Jay settled in and trying to understand exactly what was going on and how this could happen and what the treatments and the chances were, we found out that this particular cancer was something that required some very extensive treatment, and that when he was first diagnosed, he was given a less than 20% survival rate beyond a year unless we could find a bone marrow donor. And so we begin to talk and look into the bone marrow donor process and realize that my stepson is Hispanic and that the ethnicity is very critical in determining or finding a match. The chance of finding a match required finding somebody that was of his same ethnicity, and in most cases, one of the things we found out right away was the fact that the ethnic groups, whether it be Hispanic, Asian, Black, the ethnic groups, their chances of a match in right now is anywhere probably between 3% and 7%, and yet if you were Caucasian, your chance could be as high as 90%, and this discrepancy just really set us back. We just couldn't understand why this was the case, and found out that it really was a matter of education. This was something that really was a matter of just getting people on the registry. And I just felt that it was important that, one, for very personal reasons, we needed to do all we could to try to increase the number of people that were on the registry, and that we needed to go out and do all we could. And I felt that pharmacy had a great opportunity to get involved. This is something that not only would we be doing to help, but I think clearly it will make a difference. I really believe that if we can overcome some hurdles, from cultural hurdles, educational hurdles, and to let people know that it is a simple process and that they can get registered and save a life, that these numbers that were as low as 3 and 5% can increase substantially. And this is something I think pharmacy can take a role in and be very proud of. We can save lots of lives. Just in this process alone, we will be able to save a lot of lives. We have found that the number one cause of death in children between the ages from 0 to 12 in the Hispanic culture is leukemia. And so there's a great need out there, and I think pharmacy can be play a great role in this. And I just want to thank everyone who's on the call that's willing to participate and understand this great opportunity. And I'll leave it at that at this point.
Thank you, Dave, very much for sharing your story. We really appreciate it. Olivia, could you remind folks regarding access to both the web and the audio portion? Olivia, are you with us?
Yes, I am. So sorry. Thank you. For the web portion today, you'll need to sign on to www.telspan.com/express. That is TELSPAN.com/EXPRESS. And you will enter participant code 65602 and reference number 163197. And for the audio portion today, you will dial 1-800-358-5994 and enter conference code 65602. Thanks, yes. Valerie.
Thank you. And Olivia, if you can also provide those instructions for those who are online and not on the audio, that would be great.
I will do so. Thank you.
Thank you. And with that, we will continue. Again, we have Amanda Nagel with us from DKMS, and she will be going through the slides now and explaining the training process for bone marrow donor registration. Amanda?
Hey, thank you. Hi, everyone. My name is Amanda, and I am a bone marrow donor recruiter here at DKMS. And I'd like to just tell you a little bit about DKMS and what we do here and how you all can help us. So DKMS's mission is to increase the number of bone marrow donors on the National Registry and hopefully increase the number of transplants done every year. We are the largest donor center in the world, and we have close to 2 million registered donors. Okay, we were founded in the early 90s by a gentleman named Peter Harf, and at the time in Germany, the unrelated registry was very, very small. So they got together, and in 1 year, they registered 68,000 people. It was quite remarkable, and they realized they were onto something, and they developed DKMS, which is a German acronym for German Bone Marrow Donor Center. In 2004, they brought over the organization to the United States and opened our office in New York. Since 2006, we've registered over 100,000 donors, and our American donors have provided over 100 transplants. Okay. So every year, 10,000 men, women, and children could benefit from a bone marrow transplant. Every year, more than 140,000 people are diagnosed with a blood cancer. And unfortunately, leukemia is the most common disease children in the United States die of. On average, there are only about 3,500 transplants done in the U.S., and this is in large part due to the fact that there are not enough volunteer donors on the registry that we could match to patients. In the U.S., we have 7 million donors, and this isn't enough, and that's why we need your help. The best match would be a sibling, but unfortunately, only 30% of patients will find that match in their family. So 70% of patients have to rely on a stranger. They need to turn to the unrelated donor registry, and even still, only 3 out of 10 patients with blood cancer will receive the transplant that can save their life. And as Dave was talking about before, race and ethnicity matters. You're more likely to be matched to someone with the same ethnic background as you because your tissue type is inherited. So it's very important to recruit as many people from as many backgrounds as possible. Okay. So you're helping because you're going to help us increase the number of bone marrow donors. And the more donors we have, the more chances we will find compatible donors and increase the number of life-saving transplants. So thank you all for participating. Okay? So now I'm going to talk about how to actually register a donor. The first thing you do is ask the donor if they've already registered before. Once you register, you never need to re-register. You stay on the National Registry until your 61st birthday. So if someone says that, yes, they think they've registered before, they should call 1-800-MARROW and then the number 2 to confirm that. If they have not registered before, then you can proceed. You're going to inform the donor that they're going to be placed anonymously on the National Be the Match Registry until they're 61 years old. They can be matched to any patient in need, not just one specific person. So someone might want to register in honor of Dave's son, Jay, but they have to know that even if they don't match him, they might match another patient who needs them just as much. Okay? So after they understand that, you're going to go over the eligibility criteria with the donor. You're then going to review the height and weight guidelines, and then you're going to explain the actual donation process. So the first sign is the eligibility criteria. So donors must be between the ages of 18 and 55 and in general good health. Donors must be at least 110 pounds. They cannot be HIV positive, not have severe heart disease, not have had cancer. Okay, so I'm talking about the individual donor. I'm not talking about family history. So the next one, they cannot have any autoimmune disorders such as lupus or rheumatoid arthritis or MS. They cannot have severe asthma. Now, what I'm talking about when I say severe, we don't want donors who treat their asthma in the emergency room. You know, folks that are on, you know, maintenance inhalers, that's fine. But anyone who's constantly taking prednisone and going to the ER, you know, this isn't the ideal donor, so we shouldn't sign them up. Anyone that has diabetes that requires insulin is not eligible. They cannot have current hepatitis infection, they can't have epilepsy or have had seizures in the last year, and they should not have chronic or severe back problems. So if someone has had back surgery, that would be needing evaluation. Now, for those of you that have received supplies already, there's a folder. And inside that folder is a list of health conditions that are not covered on this general eligibility criteria. You can look up in that booklet any disorder in alphabetical order, and it'll explain to you whether or not you can accept or reject the donor. Okay? So the next thing, after the donor goes through this and says, yes, I'm eligible, the next thing you're going to go over with the donor is the height and weight guidelines. The height and weight guidelines are very important. Because we place donor safety first and foremost, we need to protect them from unnecessary harm. So that is why the donor must be at least 110 pounds. But they also cannot exceed the BMI requirements that we follow from the FDA and the National Marrow Donor Program. So a donor at 4'10", the most they could be at the time they register is 191 pounds. As you can see, it goes up to 7 feet tall. I've never met anyone 7 feet tall, but okay. So after that, this is the most important slide, and this is the most important thing. We need informed consent. The donor needs to understand that when they sign up, they're saying, yes, I want to help a patient, and I would be willing to do either procedure. Now, the majority of the time, in about 75% of the donations, we do something called peripheral blood stem cell collection. Most people don't know about this, yet it's done most of the time. What happens is the donor would receive a series of injections of a protein called filgrastim once a day for 4 days. Now, what this protein does is it increases the number of stem cells in their bloodstream. They may experience some side effects during those days. They may, people have referred to it as flu-like symptoms. They might feel headachy, muscle aches, some nausea. This subsides after the donation. The actual donation is similar to donating plasma. The nurse or doctor will draw blood from one arm. They would pass it through a filter, take out the stem cells, and your blood returns to you in the other arm. This can take anywhere between 4 to 8 hours over the course of 1 to 2 days, okay? Now, this, again, is done 75% of the transplants. Now, the rest of the time, we do something called a bone marrow harvest, or also known as a bone marrow extraction. The donor would receive anesthesia, and while they are sedated, a doctor is going to insert a special hollow needle into the back of their hip bone, so their pelvic bone. The procedure takes about 1 to 2 hours. It is outpatient, so typically the donor does not stay overnight, but it is a very long day, so they would probably go in early in the morning and leave in the evening. Afterwards, the donor is going to feel uncomfortable. It's going to feel like someone gave them a good kick in the backside. This discomfort lasts anywhere between 1 and 2 weeks. We tell people to take off the next day of work and pamper themselves and take care of themselves. So if you take off that first day after the procedure, it's going to be easier for you to recover. Okay? So those are the two ways to donate. So, you know, the message to the donor when you sign them up, it's not a binding contract, but we want people to stay committed, stay available, and be willing to go on to donate to a patient who needs them. Okay. So, like I said, the previous slide is very important, understanding the two ways to donate the stem cells. If a donor seems really nervous, or they tell you they're petrified of needles, don't sign them up. It's not worth it. You know, let them think about it. They can always sign up to register on our website, which is dkmsamericas.org, and they can just follow the link and sign up online, and we would mail them a kit to their home. We don't want people who aren't sure because, like I said before, if they back out, if they decide not to donate, it's a waste of hope for our patients. So to prevent that, we only want to sign up really confident folks at the donor drives. Okay? So now, for those of you who have received supplies, you'll see that there are registration forms in there. It's a legal-sized document. It's very important that we collect as much contact information as possible. This is our only link to the donor until they turn 61. People move, people change phone numbers, so it's really important that we can be confident that we'll be able to reach the donor in the future if they match a patient. So please write clearly on the forms. All of the fields are required except for the Social Security number, the driver's license number, and the employer information. But I must strongly encourage you that to ask for the social because in the future we can always locate a most current address for a donor using their Social Security number. This information is confidential. It is not shared with third parties. So, you know, it's really encouraged that people provide their Social Security number, but again, it's not mandatory. Okay, the next thing is there are really important for us that we get at least 2 phone numbers for the donor and 1 non-academic email address. You know, if you're signing up a college student, have them put their Gmail or their Yahoo because the college emails expire after graduation usually. So we must have at least 2 phone numbers and an email address. We will only contact the donor if they match a patient or if we're missing information. So we're not going to be calling our donors to bother them or solicit for donations. It's really only to contact them if they are a match for a patient. Okay? At the bottom of the form, we ask for a contact person. We would really ask that the contact person be someone that does not live with the donor, because chances are if you put your spouse, you're going to move together. So we really want, you know, a parent, a sibling, an aunt, an uncle, a best friend as the contact person. We would need their phone number and address. We will not contact the contact person unless the donor is a match, and we cannot reach them at the numbers that they provided at the beginning of the form. Okay? We cannot register donors with missing information or a missing signature, so it's really important that we have everything on the form. At the bottom, you just want to make sure that the donor signs and dates the form, and you or another volunteer can just sign as the witness. But it's very important that we have the signature, because otherwise we don't have informed consent. Okay? So this is, oh, that's really small. This is the registration form. It's one page, legal size. All of the fields have to be filled out, signed at the bottom, dated. Okay? We also ask for ethnicity and ancestry information. It's very important that as far back as people can remember that they indicate this, because we want to be able to narrow the search very quickly. So if I know that my patient is Hispanic or if I know that my patient is Chinese, I want to first look at donors that listed that. So, you know, as best as people can do. If they know that they had a grandma or a great-grandma from, you know, Eastern Europe or the Mediterranean or China or whatever, you know, to check off as many boxes are applicable. Now, at the top of the form, name, date of birth, we have to have gender, we have to have height and weight. We cannot register someone without their height and weight because we have no way of knowing if they meet the required BMI guidelines. Okay? Now, at the very top of the registration form, you're going to see there are three barcode stickers. We only need one of them, and so I'm going to go on to the next slide, and this is why. The cheek swab, the tissue sample collection, it's anonymous. So the only way we can, well, I shouldn't say anonymous, it's confidential, the identity of the donor. So in order to do this, we send the tissue sample with the ID number. So the lab is only going to receive cheek swabs with a barcode on it. So they're not going to know that that those swabs belong to me, Amanda. They're going to know that it belongs to donor number 1234. So in order to do the cheek swab, what you're going to have the donor do is just swish and swallow a small amount of water. You're going to take one of the barcode stickers from the registration form, and you're going to put it on the top right-hand corner of the white envelope that we provided. Okay? Then you're going to have the donor open the packet of cheek swabs. They look like Q-tips. They're just a little bit longer, and they come two in a pack. You're going to throw away the wrapper. Now, the donor is going to take one of the swabs and rub it on the inside of their cheek in a circular motion for about 10 seconds. You want them to rub really well, because if we don't get enough cells, we're not going to get an accurate reading. So they're going to do the same thing with the second swab on the other cheek, wait a few seconds, and then they're going to put, the donor is going to place each swab in the envelope with their unique barcode, okay? Then the donor is going to seal the envelope. And you're almost done. This is optional, but strongly encouraged. It costs $65 to register one donor. So if a donor would like to help offset the cost of their HLA tissue typing, DKMS will use 100% of their donation to register them and continue our life-saving work. So, for example, if your pharmacy registers 100 people, that's going to cost $6,500. So we rely 100% on donations and volunteer support. We can accept all types of donations, cash, credit card, and checks. In your supply boxes, we even provided you with credit card receipts. People can contribute as little as a dollar. Every dollar counts. There are other ways that your pharmacy can help us fundraise. Working with other local businesses in your community, asking if they would be willing to donate a portion of the day's sales, you know, having a raffle at the store, having a little shaker can located nearby. So these are all ways that can help offset the cost of the tissue typing tests. So I think that's it. So the final steps. The donor is going to receive a copy of what they signed up for. The registration form has a pink carbon copy, so they're going to get, the donor is going to get the pink copy. DKMS is going to get back the white and yellow copies separated, and all of the forms, the envelopes with the swabs, and all unused materials should be returned to me by FedEx. I've provided FedEx labels in the folder that's in the box that we sent, and you can either drop it off at a FedEx location or call 1-800-GO-FEDEX and arrange a pickup. I must ask that all supplies be returned to us at DKMS by November 30th, and we'll be sure to get those donors on the registry ASAP. Okay. So thank you all so much for listening to me go on and on. We couldn't do our work without the kindness of volunteers, so I thank you all so much for your willingness to do this.
Thank you so much, Amanda, for that great information. We just have a couple of slides remaining. I'm going to invite Catherine Kuhn, Executive Director of the NCPA Foundation, to talk with you about the promotional support we're offering to those of you who are participating.
Thank you, Valerie. On this next slide, you will see a screenshot of the webpage on the NCPA Foundation website that talks about this bone marrow donor drive. If you scroll down on the same page, you'll find a number of promotional materials that have been developed that you can download, and you can use them to promote the donor drive in your own pharmacy. So Valerie, on the next slide,
okay.
Here is a list of the promotional materials that we've developed for you, and I'd just like to briefly go over these, what's here, and the resources that you will find. We have a poster where you can download and print that off. It's a four-color poster, and many of these promotional items have active fields where you can type in your name, the name of your pharmacy, the address, and the dates of your bone marrow donor drive in your own pharmacy. We've also provided you with a newspaper ad, a press release for you to send to your local media to promote your donor drive, also bag stuffers that you can use in your pharmacy, and then these next few documents, cancer facts and figures. There's also one titled Bone Marrow Donor FAQs, and another one, donation myths versus facts. These are easy reference sheets that you can copy and hand out to your patients to help answer their questions. And lastly, we have a couple of items. One is a donor sign-up sheet and also a donor online sign-up information sheet. These are for donors that perhaps are unable to participate in the donor drive that you're offering on the particular day that you're hosting your donor drive. So for whatever reason, if they're in a hurry or if they just are going to be out of town, or if perhaps you even run out of screening supplies, you can ask them to sign up using the sign-up sheet, and this information can be forwarded to DKMS, and they will actually mail them a donor screening kit along with instructions on how to conduct their own screening, and then all the testing kit and everything can be mailed back to DKMS. There's also, as Amanda mentioned in her presentation, you can instruct the donor to actually go online and sign up themselves. So that last sheet is a handout you can provide your patients that contains the website information and how to do that on their own. So that is all of the promotional materials that have been developed to assist you, and I'd just like to say on behalf of the NCPA Foundation, we are really grateful to bring all of you together to participate in this first ever National Community Pharmacy Bone Marrow Donor Drive. And as Amanda said, we know that with your help, we can all truly make a difference here, and we thank you very much for your participation.
Yes, thank you, Catherine. Thank you for those comments. And again, yes, all of us are just very pleased to be working on this event, and we hope to see some great success with all of you reaching out into your communities. Just a reminder, we know the slide is small, but if you go to the NCPA Foundation website, that is where you can access all those great materials to help make this job easier for you in order to communicate with the community and your patients about what you are doing. What we'd like to do now, and also, I'm sorry, one more reminder, as we posted on the chat feature and as we said in the beginning of the call, if you are on the line today but you have not yet confirmed your participation with DKMS and therefore have not received your supply kit, you'll need to contact Amanda as soon as possible at amanda@dkmsamericas.org. That's Amanda, A-M-A-N-D-A, @dkmsamericas.org. So please, those of you on the line who have not yet received your kits, please contact her immediately. And now what we'd like to do is begin to open up the call quickly for some questions. And while we're doing that, Dave, you're still on the line with us, and you have been doing some of these screens, I believe, in your store already. Can you share a little bit about what some of the feedback that you've gotten?
Sure. Again, thank you, everyone, for participating. We have found, and again, what Foundation has come up with some of this promotional material really answers some of the concerns that we have ran into as we stumbled through doing it at first, and that is really an education process. If some of the facts and the sheets that go over the simplicity of the process and re-educating the individuals on how the fact is that 75% of it is not an extraction, that it is a simple process of donating blood, is crucial. We get questions quite often in regards to, well, I thought it hurts, I thought it was just that, and I think it's important that you do let them know that there's still a chance that that could happen, because when they sign up, that there is still that 25% chance that that is, but in most cases, it is a simple blood drive, blood donation, excuse me. And the other thing is that I would encourage you to, again, just make sure that you understand the importance of the accuracy of this information. Patients need to be well informed on what it is that we're asking and that we get accurate and complete information. It's not a matter of numbers, and that's where I first started. I thought if I can get as many people signed up, it didn't matter, and I've learned through the process it does. It's better to get good quality, accurate information and complete information, because all the time and effort that you're spending has no value if those, when they come into DKMS and they get screened and find out that there is not enough information to make it a true donor, then we've wasted a lot of time. And so, again, the more you inform the patient, the better. We're finding that if you can take the time and educate them ahead of time, so if you set a particular day for your donation or your draw, if you can get that information out ahead of time in your pharmacies and hand it out to your customers a week or so in advance, so that a lot of the questions can be answered ahead of time, so that when the day comes, they're ready and prepared to go through the donation, that would really help. Thank you again for all your participation, and good luck.
Thank you again so much, Dave, for those comments. Olivia, we'd like to open up the call now for questions, please.
Thank you. At this time, we'll begin the question-answer session. To ask a question, please press 0 followed by a 1 on your touch-tone phone. Questions will be answered in the order they are received. Again, if you have a question, please press 0 followed by a 1 now. And our first question comes from Deborah with Morris Health Mart. Please go ahead.
Hi. We had two questions, actually. We were wondering if we could hold our drive sooner than that week in November, or do we need to stick to that week in November?
It's okay with DKMS. It's, for us, we just have to be sure that the tissue samples get sent back to us in a very timely manner, so they should not sit, for longer than a week or two after the first swab. So if you want to do something ongoing, you just have to let me know, and I will keep sending you FedEx labels so that the tissue samples aren't sitting for too long.
Okay, that goes sort of toward our other question, which was, is there a any restrictions or proper or improper way to store the swab?
The swab should be kept in a cool, dry place. And again, you just don't want them sitting around too long. But, you know, you could put them in just a cardboard box or something like that. And just as long as they're sealed and they're not sopping wet when the donor puts them back in the envelope, it should be fine.
Okay. That answers your question. Thank you.
Nothing fancy.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Steven at the drugstore. Please go ahead.
Yes, I was just asking almost the same thing. So you want the swab sent to you not more than a week after they're taken?
Preferably, yes.
Okay.
The longer that they sit, the more likely that it'll be harder for the lab to do the test. You know, they could get degraded or there could get mold, so we really want it as soon as possible.
Okay. So we could go ahead and contact you to get more labels to send back.
If you need more labels, absolutely.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Stephen. And as a reminder to our participants, if you would like to ask a question to any of our speakers, please press 01 now.
While we're waiting for questions, I noticed some online. And please, for anyone who has future questions, it's preferable that you ask them in the audio setting so that everyone can hear the question and the answers. But there have been some questions regarding about the availability of materials in Spanish. And I believe, Amanda, you did mention that some of the materials are available in Spanish.
We have some materials. Our brochures, unfortunately, are not translated, but we do have some materials that if a specific pharmacy thinks that their community is going to need bilingual materials, we will get them some documents.
Okay, so please contact Amanda if you think that's the case. Some of you also anticipated a huge turnout for your events and asked for more supplies, and so please contact Amanda if you feel like you need more than were provided. And again, as always, we certainly thank DKMS for their partnership with us in this initiative and the provision of materials. Yes, Amanda? Were there other questions?
Thank you so much, everyone. We're really excited to be working with all of you. And, you know, as pharmacists and pharmacies, you know, you're pillars of your community and people trust you. And I just think this is going to be a wonderful, wonderful opportunity.
We are very excited as well. And just another comment before we go back to the questions. Today's slide presentation will be emailed to all of you participating. So if any of you are interested in showing it and sharing it with maybe someone on your staff as you prepare for your drives, we can certainly get that information out to you. Olivia, are there other questions?
Yes, we currently have three questions in the queue. And our first question comes from Don with Chelsea Drugstore. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good day. My question was, if someone is chosen as a donor, are they able to donate in their local community, or do they have to go to a specific location to make that donation?
That's an excellent question. Thank you for asking that. We do our best to get the donor to a facility that will do a stem cell collection nearest to where they live. Now, if there isn't a bed for them at that facility, we, DKMS, would accommodate by flying the donor and paying for the flight, or if the donor, let's say, has to drive, you know, 2 hours, we would reimburse them for mileage. We do our best to work with facilities nearest to where the donor lives, but if the facility cannot accommodate them, DKMS will cover all costs related to travel.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Jake with Skywalk Pharmacy.
Oh, hello. Well, my question was about the slides actually being emailed to us, so that was kind of my question. But, we've done one of these drives. We did one a couple years ago, and we got about 75 people to sign up, mostly Hispanic and African-American.
Fantastic.
It was really cool. You know, we're inside Children's Hospital of Wisconsin. We take care of a lot of bone marrow transplant patients. So it's a really cool event. I'm really glad that that you guys are participating in this and doing that. So
thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. It sounds like you know how great this is, and we're glad you're on the line to encourage others to participate as well.
Yeah, it was really cool. It was a couple years ago, I don't know if you remember this, but there was a family here in Wisconsin that was an illegal alien, mm-hmm. and the parents were illegal, but the son was a member of, was a United States citizen, and the parents actually were on CNN, they were on Larry King, they were on Sean Hannity's show, and they were out there saying, we know we're going to get sent back to Mexico, but we need to get more Hispanic people to sign up for this so that hopefully we can find a match for Charlie. And they ended up finding a match for him, but unfortunately he passed away, and the parents did get sent back to Mexico because of
Oh my goodness.
You know, it was very cool, though, that they, you know, that's what it took to get people to sign up, you know, Hispanic and African American. So this is great. I'm glad you guys are doing it. Hopefully we can really get a lot of these people to sign up again. So.
Well, wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing that story.
Yep.
Olivia, are there other questions?
There are. Our next question comes from Jamie with Dilworth Drug. Please go ahead.
All right. I know we had just been assessed the answer that DKMS will accommodate within reason as far as cost. That was my main concern as far as with people, getting them involved, if that is going to be a thought in the back of their head as far as what is going to be, you know, cost to them, especially afterwards. You know, if any medication, us being all pharmacists, we expect, you know, some sort of pain reliever drug at that cost. You know, should we expect the patient to pick up that minimal cost in order to do this wonderful, you know, thing for another human being?
Typically, the only cost really related to the donation for the donor, and the donor doesn't even need to have health insurance because they are covered, the procedure is covered by the insurance of the patient. So really the only cost to the donor is the time off from work. So they might have to use up either a sick day or a vacation day for that. There are some there is some funding from the National Marrow Donor Program for people who earn less than $22 an hour, and, you know, we could get the donor in touch with the donor advocate with the National Marrow Donor Program. I believe that they would send the donor home with a bottle of Advil from the hospital, but if, you know, it's an issue, I'm sure DKMS could swing something and get the donor some Advil.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for the question. Olivia, next question, please.
Thank you. With two more questions in the queue, our next question comes from Paula with Menifee County Pharmacy.
So I was kind of just wondering back to the cost. You said that the donation and the hospital stay was covered by the donor's or the recipient's insurance. But what would happen if the recipient did not have any kind of health coverage?
The donor does not need to have health insurance because their time in the hospital and the donation is covered by the patient's insurance.
But what happened if the recipient did not have insurance?
Oh, chances are, unfortunately, that they probably would not be having a transplant, and that is a large part of why many blood cancer patients who could benefit from a transplant don't even get to the point of having a search of the registry done because they don't have insurance. So some of our numbers are actually very skewed because of that.
Okay, that's what I was just wondering, because we're in a small town, you know, not a lot of upper income customers, and I know that would probably be, unfortunately, one of their main concerns is if they were going to be out of pocket anything.
Right. No, I mean anything. Now, for example, if a donor has to travel far away, and for the donation, let's say, because we couldn't get a facility near where they live, DKMS and the National Marrow Donor Program would compensate them for the travel and for, you know, if they had to eat lunch that day, we would compensate them for their lunch. So really the cost is really just their time and the bit of discomfort from the procedure itself.
Mm-hmm. Is there any way, I'm sorry, I just have one more. Is there any way of knowing if our local hospitals are participating in this, or how would we know that?
Most places where they do transplants, I could find out for you. I don't know off the top of my head, but, you know, if you send me your city or your state, I could find out which transplant center is the nearest to your town.
Okay, yeah, that would be good.
Okay. Thank you very much. Olivia, our last question?
Yes, and our last question comes from Stephen with the drugstore. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, one other thing I wanted to say is the reason I can kind of relate with Dave on this is the fact that my son just received a stem cell transplant September 11th. It was a 19-year-old girl in Europe. When they put him on the list, within 5 days, they had three perfect 10 for 10 matches. So we
that's
were
amazing.
Extremely lucky. So that's another reason we have had a drive at OSU with the OBI, the Oklahoma Blood Institute, and got 300 people to sign up, students
wow.
at Oklahoma State.
That's
and they
great.
Did one at OU that they had a little over 100. So we're pretty excited about adding more people to the list.
Wonderful.
Thank you so much, and best of luck
you.
To your family.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you again, Stephen. That's a great way for us to end the call on such a positive note and a great example of how your participation in this drive could literally save a life. So thank you so much for sharing that.
Yes.
Amanda, Maria, do you have any last comments before we close?
I don't think so. Just to
okay.
thank everyone again for their support of our cause, and together we'll definitely make a difference.
Excellent. Catherine?
Well, I would just say, again, on behalf of the NCPA Foundation, we are glad to be bringing you all together for this bone marrow donor drive. And thanks to all of you.
Yes, and thanks again, special thanks to DKMS, and a special thank you to all of you for agreeing to participate. And again, we'll send out the information for you shortly. If you need to contact Amanda, again, her address is amanda@dkmsamericas.org, or she's been kind enough to share her number at 212-209-6704. That's 212-209-6704. So please contact her with any remaining questions, or if you need to confirm your participation or perhaps request more materials. And again, with that, thank you all to everyone. We're going to close today's call. A recording of it will be made available on the NCPA Foundation website. We'll have another call on October 29th at 1 p.m. for those that weren't able to join us today. But, again, please feel free to contact us at the Foundation or DKMS with any residual questions. And with that, we'd like to close the call, Olivia. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
And thank you all for your attention. This concludes today's conference. All participants may now disconnect.